You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, where we offer you podcasts of the supernatural and the unexplained. Get ready now for Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are thoughts and opinions only, and do not necessarily reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. You are encouraged to do the proper amount of research yourself, depending on the subject matter and your needs.
Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For almost 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death. And so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. I want to introduce you to a guy that came highly recommended. His name is Roland Comtois. He's a spiritual medium, a speaker. He hosts a podcast called The Wisdom Keepers and has a TV show called Soul Stories. He's worked in this field for over 40 years, and he has a history as a geriatric nurse, a Reiki master, and a grief specialist. He's the author of several books, including And Then There Was Heaven, 16 Minutes, Signs of Spirit, and co-authored the book 365 Days of Angel Prayers. He's up to some pretty interesting things, and I thought it'd be great to have a conversation with him. Roland, welcome.
Thank you so much, Sandra. I'm thrilled to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, I'm thrilled. If you could see my smile on my face right now, you would get how much joy I have. I've heard your name mentioned a few times as somebody had to interview, and then our mutual friend, Sherry Pearl, gave me the final push, and here we are today. So thank you for spending this time with us.
My thanks again. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So you're coming to us from where on this planet?
So right now I am in Connecticut and I'm overlooking the most beautiful trees and a few horses on my right hand side back there. And I'm in this very wonderful spot where I can feel all that loving energy. So I'm very happy to be where I am today.
Oh, I'm glad I'm at my home in Massachusetts. And to our listener, wherever you are on planet Earth or in your car or out for a walk or listening before you go to bed, just welcome to you as well. Roland, tell us about yourself. There's so much that I don't even know where to begin. Maybe at the beginning.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I was a kid that always felt things and sensed things. And my mother thought I was peculiar and thought that I needed a little help and medicine and things to calm down those things that I was seeing and feeling and hearing and knowing as a young 5 and 6 year old kid. And there was just something about the experience of feeling that energy. And then my grandmother, Isabel Jetty, passed away when I was 10. And then a few days later, I saw her standing there at the end of my bed. I remember seeing her in this light, and I knew that she was peaceful because I felt peaceful. I wasn't fearful. I wasn't overwhelmed. It wasn't scary at all. She was there. And she was looking at me and she was talking to me, and I saw light behind her. And I knew somehow at 10 years old that there was something more. And I've been on a discovery now and on a journey, truly, Sandra, to find out what that something more is. And I've been looking for the last 47 years for that something. And that was really the beginning of seeing it in a different way and knowing that wherever love is, there is no separation, and that separation doesn't exist. So I realize that my grandmother and all those that I've had conversations with are part of our everyday experience.
That's really great. Wherever love is, there is no separation. Mm-hmm. And what a gift that at such a young age she came to.
You know, I tried to tell my people, you know, my mother, and, you know, my mother would say, "No, Roland, Meme's dead." And I'd say, "Mom, she's here and she's part of you and she's with you." And my mother would say no, and I would say yes. And I would say, you know, we'd go back and forth. My mother and I went back and forth about this our whole lives. Not that she was resisting me. It was something she didn't understand herself. She didn't have the experience herself, despite the fact that we had very very amazing moments together after my grandmother passed away, but not until a few days before my mother passed away. And, you know, I get emotional talking about it now, as I do every time I talk about this moment. And I walked into her rehab room, and there was a peace, you know, Sandra, there was a peacefulness in her that I had never seen before. And I went right over to the bedside, and I held her hand, and I got really close to her, and I said, "Mom, are you all right?" You know, and I was so almost overwhelmed that she was peaceful. I was starting to feel the same peace I felt when my grandmother was in my room all those years before. And so I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I said, "Mom, are you all right?" And she looked right at me, and she said, Roland, you're not a nut," she said.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, "Mom, you should be saying I love you instead." But, you know, she said, "You're not a nut." And then she began to tell me this amazing story of what happened to her the night before. Hmm. My mother, that never spoke this language, began to tell me that the people she loved were there. And you know what she said to me that sticks with me?
What?
And she's been gone for some time now. She reached out her hand and said, "When my hand leaves yours, Roland, someone else will take care of me. And you won't have to worry so much about me anymore."
Oh.
And then a few days later, she died in my arms. So the evolution of my mother and I on this journey together, from not really knowing to coming into her own discovery, took years and years. But man, I'm honored to be her son. I'm honored that she's my mom, and we've had an amazing journey together. So, you know, there have been many experiences in between, certainly in my life, that helped define the journey of offering a message or a moment of hope to someone.
Thank you for that. I'm very close with my mom, and I know we all don't have our moms on planet Earth. And every so often, my mom loves hearing my stories. And then every so often, "Sandra, when we die, you know, it's like, that's it. And everybody's got people in their life that I think we'd love for them to be on the same wavelength with us, but everybody's on their own path. But the day, I believe, will come. And what a gift to you that your mom got it and could tell you, "You're not a nut," you know? Yeah.
It was life-changing mm-hmm. for me at that moment, you know? But I think you're right. I think there are people, we're all on our own unique path, making our own discoveries, learning and growing as we live our lives and live through the losses of our loved ones and a lot of other experiences in our lives. And I think the best that we can do, you know, one of the things that I hope for when I'm with an audience or a person or something, my real hope is that the person I'm with for 1 second can catch their breath. Now, if they can catch their breath because a message came through, if they get a purple paper, or they feel like somebody else in the room is on their side or embracing them, I think at that moment we've accomplished great things, the audience and I together. Or, you know, and I think that's what it is for me. And it's what I've learned and what I've discovered, at least at this point.
Before we go on with your story, can you talk a little bit about the purple papers?
Sure. The purple papers, you know, I'm a guy that hears a lot of voices, and I've been hearing voices my whole life. And anyone who does any kind of energy work or this kind of work might hear voices too, right? And it became so overwhelming, and I was having trouble containing all the things that I was feeling, that I would write them on paper. And then I put them on big 11 by 17 purple papers because it was easier for me to see in case my glasses weren't on. And I just started to write them. I whatever I was feeling, seeing, sensing, hearing, and knowing, I was writing. And I would write them before I would meet an audience of people. And then I would carry them with me and take them where I go. So these papers have messages from people that have passed on, from their first names. Some of them have their last names. Some of them just have stories. Some of them have colors and images on them. But it will only matter, though, to the person who receives the purple paper, because it's going to be specific to them, you know? So they're all pre-recorded before, pre-written before I even walk out of my house, so that, you know, so there's the integrity that the message was created before someone, before you met anybody in a room. And so they're all there. And I'm excited that, you know, Llewellyn Worldwide is publishing the first book about the Purple Papers this summer. So there's a lot of positive energy, but the healing and the love and the continuity of that love that I see from those Purple Papers, or my staff even sees, is just astounding to me. So they tell a story of love that remains. It's like a love letter from heaven, basically.
Are there Purple Papers that haven't been claimed yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are probably hundreds of that are not claimed. So I still have in my possession the first Purple Paper that was written in 2005 for the Walcott family. Now, I've met a lot of people that were the Walcotts. I even met people who came up to me in a group and said, "Oh my God, I lived on Walcott Street." And I'd say, "Well, that isn't it. I'm sorry. It's about the Walcott mother-in-law. That's what I know." And then there are lots of Purple Papers left to be discovered. From Mr. Gongoleski is in there, Mrs. LaFrancois is in there, Mr. Reynolds is in there, Mr. Sherman is in there. So they're in there. There was one once recorded that said Mr. DeSimone, not a name that was familiar to me really. And I went to an event and the woman in the room, her father was always called by everybody Mr. DeSimone. So she had a moment of reconnecting with her father in that moment. It was beautiful. So there are plenty of them that are left. Yes.
Wow. Do you have any of them on your website?
Oh, yeah. So they all get posted on social media before I post them before I step into a room, just to keep the integrity of the messages together.
Great.
And so people can look at them. They can see them. And sometimes people have said to me, "Oh, my God, that's my mother." And then my assistant would arrange for us to have a free consultation. Like I sit with them and say, "Oh my God, this message is your dad's, it's yours. I'm sending it to you because it belongs to you." And then they receive the message. So I don't keep the original. I give them to the people they are meant for. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. You know, they bring a little bit of, they bring that moment so someone can breathe, basically.
Roland, we need to take a short break, but to our listeners, you can go to blessingsbyroland.com to find Roland's website, and that'll lead you into the Purple Papers if you want to see them. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? It's easy for people to ignore their social batteries and spread themselves thin, especially at this time of year, when gatherings are picking up again after the winter. But it's important to find the right amount of socializing for you and still give yourself the time to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge. Because a full battery is the key to a full life. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve.
with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The internet is an extraordinary resource that links our children to a world of information, experiences, and ideas. It can also expose them to risk. Teach your children the basic safety rules of the virtual world. Our children are everything. Do everything for them.
We're happy to let you know that our Coast to Coast AM official YouTube channel has now reached 300,000 subscribers. You can listen to the first hour of recent and past shows all for free. So head on over to coasttocoastam.com and hit the YouTube icon at the top of the page. This is free show audio, so don't wait. coasttocoastam.com is where you want to be.
You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain on the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And don't forget, you can listen to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain. We're with Roland Comtois, who is a medium, healer, fabulous guy, and knows so much. Roland, we were just talking about your purple papers and where people can find them. Can you talk a little bit about the evolution? Because now they're pretty big.
In the beginning, it was a few words. Now it's a full 11 by 17 page of messages that relate to something that someone went through or the story of their lives.
That's amazing.
It is interesting, that's for sure.
I can imagine the line of people waiting in the unseen world when you pull out the paper. Oh, he's on. No, I'm first.
You know what? You're right, though. You know, like when you've been in audiences with mediums before, and the audience themselves are saying, "Oh my God, I hope the guy picks me." Right.
Right.
Well, the afterlife is saying, "Oh my God, I hope the guy picks me." I mean, everybody is saying the same thing. Everybody wants the message. The afterlife wants us, our loved ones want us to know that they exist. And the people in the audience want to know that their loved ones exist. So a place where that message is realized is through the voice of someone like me. But I mean, I don't think anybody needs me, though, honestly, to get a message from their loved one. I think if we could quiet down our restlessness or ease our grief a little bit, we might be able to hear the message ourselves. And I think that's a very profound aspect of spiritual communication, that they're talking directly to us.
I believe it. And sometimes you think it's your imagination, you think it's your own voice. I do believe it happens more often than not, but it's so easy for our ego mind to blow it off. Like, no.
I've seen people say, "Come on, Ma, please, Mom." And then Mom shows up with a profound and powerful message. And then the person begins a negotiation versus an acceptance that was something real. You know, that was something powerful. I'm getting all emotional talking to you all of a sudden.
Aww.
There's a whole surge of energy moving through the space that we have created this afternoon. And that in that space is the existence of our loved ones waiting to tap us on the shoulder, to touch our face gently, to leave us a signal or a sign, to remind us that we are loved, to remind us that there is the continuity of the soul, really, you know? And so it is there for each and every one of us.
Yeah, it's very special. Do you have, I know we're jumping all over the map because I do want to hear
a
little bit about, no apologies necessary. This is kind of fun, actually. although, did I just lose the question that I... Oh, no, I got the question. See if I can phrase it. Is there something about being a human on Earth that we're not meant to remember who we are 24/7, that we have this little voice that wants to negotiate or say, oh, that can't really be? Do you know what I'm getting at?
I do. And I think you're right that on some level that it is part of the human experience somehow to see the separation of things. But I think that as we grow and we step certainly more clearly into the knowing that we are part of the universal energy, that we are part of the spiritual energy, that we are part of the whole thing, that we then begin to open our mind or broaden our perspective about them being part of us. And once we get to that place, that kind of wall that's in the way starts to break down. So I think in time, we leave behind the separation and step into the unity of the communication or the connection or our loved ones. You know, Sandra, in my mind, and I've never been able to work this out really, that when people I loved died, that they disappeared somewhere far beyond my grasp. I have always had a hard time with that in my life, you know, even before this became something for me, you know. I remember sitting by the bedside of my patients as they were dying, and I was holding their hands. I'll never, ever, ever forget them, by the way. I will never forget them. And the reason why I will never forget them is because we were sitting together holding hands. And I was sitting there not just as a nurse. I was their friend. I was their grandson. I was whatever I was in that moment. But that moment left an impression. That impression is invisible. It's love. And when that impression was made, I was able to tap back into that energy or that place or that space. As the people I took care of, I'll never forget this one older lady, she was 90-something years old, and she was, I got to say, and this may sound weird to someone listening, but she really was the love of my heart. I loved her so much. And I would walk into her room and she was always glad to see me, always happy to see me. And I wasn't sure if everybody was always happy to see me, but she was happy to see me. And she would glow and light up and say, I'm glad you're here. And I walked into her room and she said, I'm not going to be here much longer. I really know that, she said. And I said, okay. I sat there and listened to her. And she kind of did her best to lean over to me. And she said, but I know that there's something else. And she said, I don't know exactly what it is, she said, but I know that I can still feel my mother. And she died, you know, 75 years ago. And I know that I can still feel something. And then she looked right at my heart, if you will, and said, and I know I am never, ever going to forget you. Mm-hmm. I think that's how it works. We leave these impressions of love. Boy, I'm so long-winded, I forgot your question.
No, I think you answered it. I'm just listening. Sorry. I'm in the moment. We're on the ride together. It's great. Okay. Well, let's go back a little bit. So after you're a young person and had these visions, the vision of your grandmother, growing up, did you want to get into nursing?
I don't think anyone's ever asked me that question before. That's a really great question. And because I wasn't really sure about it. I wasn't sure. A friend of mine was a nurse and she said, look, I know you have other aspirations, she said, but you'll need to do this. And I think you should do it, she said. So I decided to go to nursing school. And again, it was transformative. And she was right, because what nursing school gave me was the opportunity to really embrace the compassion and the humanity that I feel inside. And it gave me that chance to be that person, you know? And I'm sure there are a lot of other jobs where you embrace those attributes, but I really felt that it gave me something, you know? And then I had this, man, it just stops me in my tracks when I think about the people that I've been with, you know, for 30 years as a nurse and the love that they've given me, actually. Mm-hmm. So I felt very fortunate to be able to go on that journey.
And I always believe that every part of our journey leads us to who we are. And even if we don't understand the pain that we're going through, boy, a few years down the road, looking back, you can really see all the difference it makes.
I totally agree with you. I think even the detours in our life paths are also opportunities to see something we're not going to be able to see if we were on that same path. So I think the detours, the obstacles, like you just said, the pain, I think there's something in there that gets us to see another aspect of ourselves. And if we are able to see another aspect of ourselves, are we able to see the universe? Are we able to see our loved ones? You know, I think it's all a process of growing into who we really are.
And we never stop growing.
Right. I don't think so.
So on your journey now, did you actually become a medium, like you're doing readings on people? Or how did it develop that you started to share what you're hearing and feeling?
So, you know, I at 16, 15, 16, and 17 years old, I would call my friends at 7 o'clock and say, I have a message for you. I'd go to their house and give them whatever message I was feeling. And from that began the development of opening myself up to what it was that I was feeling, seeing, hearing, sensing, whatever, right? I just kind of continued learning and growing. Now, many people have asked me, well, where did you train? I didn't take a class. I've never taken one class. And I don't know if that's good or bad to say, but I never have. I started a long time ago feeling that energy within me, trusting that energy within me, and allowing that energy to guide me. And so I started doing readings for people. I mean, my first place where I ever sat and did readings publicly was in a bar. You know, I was a teenager. I was at a bar. And guess what? I don't think I've ever told the story before, but I was at a bar and I was right off the side of the dance floor. So there I am trying to connect to energies, feelings, messages, people, loved ones, whatever, on the dance floor of a bar in Rhode Island many, many years ago. And it has developed from those places.
If you can do it at a bar, you can do it anywhere with all those distractions, the music, the people dancing.
In truth, that's what it sounds like inside. So, you know, when you're with people, when the messages are coming, there's a lot of activity going on, just like it is in the bar. The music, the dancing, the loud noises, all that energy is there. That same energy exists when the universe or our loved ones are trying to communicate their message. Because like you said a few minutes ago, they're all out there saying, come on, talk to me. I got to get a message to my son or to my mom or someone, you know?
Yeah, I'm just imagining a busy city with all kinds of people. And then, you know, in the background, the spirit world, then in front of you is a big audience. And, oh, wow.
That's exactly it. You hit the nail on the head.
It's like an air traffic controller. Okay.
Yeah. No, I might have to use that at one of my gigs. Can I use it?
Yeah.
I love that analogy. I never thought of it that way.
But yeah, lots coming and going. But then you have to, for safety's sake, zero in on one person.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great analogy. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. Hey, well, share the wealth.
Roland, we need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to find out more. Is it like being an air traffic controller trying to tune in one spirit person? We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global,
Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The four
organization. The Art Bell Vault has classic audio waiting for you now. Go to coasttocoastam.com for details.
Every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross brings help and hope to people in need. Thanks to the support of everyday heroes like you, the Red Cross is able to respond to disasters big and small, support military families, help ensure that blood is available when needed, and teach life-saving skills like CPR and first aid. Be a hero. Donate today. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
And now back to Sandra Champlain and Shades of the Afterlife.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain. We're with medium Roland Comtois, and we were talking about how mediumship can be sometimes like being an air traffic controller. You've got a lot going on around you, plus you've got a lot of spirit people coming through. Roland, is there a way to just hone in on one person? I guess there must be, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, that's years of practice, I think. At my events, when I see something or feel something, I go to the person and I say, your mom wants me to talk to you.
Oh.
I don't say anything other than what I feel or sense or see or know in that moment, right? So if I don't know someone's first name, I'll tell them the story I hear. And the story I hear generally is what they need to hear somehow. You know, so for me, it's just saying what's there, speaking from that place of love, being aware of the person who's before me, the energy that they're feeling, and really supporting them through the process, because it's all about catching your breath, feeling a little bit of healing, feeling supported, and then getting the message. The message isn't even the first aspect of this. The first aspect of this is being supported. Can I just tell you a little story?
Heck yeah.
So I see a lot of people every year, and it's hard to remember everybody, obviously, but I will never forget this one woman I met. She was in her 20s when I met her, and she was sitting in a room with 50 or 60 other people. My audiences are a little bit smaller purposefully so I could talk to as many people as possible. And she was there, and I was starting to talk about her father, and I was saying whatever it is that I was saying. I don't remember the details of what I'd said to her, but what I do remember is when I started to talk to her, I heard a sound come out of a human being that I've never heard before. I heard it makes my hair stand now. What came out of her was a grief and a pain that was so deeply entrenched in her that the second I said whatever it is that I said, she made a sound and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I stopped the audience from doing anything, And I said to the audience at that moment, this is your chance to step up and to be part of this girl's life. And some woman all the way at the other end of the room came over and held this girl as she cried. My hand was on her shoulder. A stranger was holding her, and she sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And the reason why she cried was, and she told me this after the event, that whatever the message was for her, she was on her way to meet her father for the first time in a very long time. And on the way, driving there from Connecticut to across the country to somewhere, just to California, I mean, across the country, her father died while she was driving there. And she arrived in California with her baby that he was going to meet for the first time, and he was gone. Oh. And the words that came to her helped her. But what helped her first was a stranger coming up to her and holding her and embracing her and loving her. And the entire audience turned to her and sent her a part of themselves. That's what happened that day. So, you know, the message comes, yes, but what comes before that is the loving support. And then what comes around that is the healing possibilities for someone to go through the journey of hearing and feeling and experiencing the message that might give them what they need to take the next step in their lives. I forgot why I was telling you that story.
No, there's no need to remember. It's just great. I don't either. We're in the moment, and see, that's what's important. And there's something that you're saying that just makes me realize, like, we can turn love on in any second, and it doesn't even matter if we know the person to love them. And then what shows up is, you know, looking at a total stranger and somebody walking across the room to be there for someone.
Yeah. I think love is so beautifully innate within each cell of our being that when we have a chance to truly step into it, it happens without thinking, because I think it's part of all of us, you know, and I've seen it so many times where someone steps beyond their own grief and embraces someone like there's no tomorrow. And it is profound. It's profound to me. The messages are great. The messages are, they are for me, and I'm not speaking for the audience now, I'm speaking for myself. Sometimes I take my breath away. How did that happen? How did those words come to be? How did that just happen when that paper was written and given to somebody? It's so mysterious and not all at the same time. If we truly look at love for what it is, this innate energy within each soul, then we unlock the doorway to love by just being in a space and being in that place. So I learned early on, very early on, by the way, I learned when my father abandoned us, my sister and my mother, I knew then that I had to understand love, because otherwise my only mission would have been hate, because I was so angry at him. So I had to make a decision to really understand what love was and what love is, to connect to everything. So,
and life can be tough. I did a course once, and you know, you realize that you would have to actually walk in somebody's shoes their entire life and feel what they feel to understand the decisions that people make and say, you know, why your dad left for whatever reason that is.
Yeah, you know, I think it's easy. It's easier to maybe judge that experience. But I made a decision, and it took a long time. Let's say, I mean, I was 10 years old when he left. So it took a little time to really embrace that love. And then I was feeling all this energy. And then I was knowing that there was love, and you know, and all these things were happening in a 10 to 17 year old person, and then trying to be 10 to 17 years old. So there was a lot of things happening, but I made a decision to figure out my way through it, and to embrace each of those obstacles and detours.
You know, people wear those glasses that are either pink or blue or yellow. Like, what if the lens was love?
That's great. What if it was? Or what if you just needed a reminder to reconnect to that energy? What if you just needed a little reminder? You know, every so often I give out love rose quartz hearts to remind people of love. Every so often, when I'm doing my events, I stop the audience and say, "Let's all text someone we love right now." And aww, you know, and we all laugh about it. I did a church thing, a church sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I made the audience stop. I made them take their phones out. I didn't make them do anything. I suggested.
Yes, heavily
suggested. Mm-hmm. You know, that this would be a good idea. And all of a sudden, everybody was doing it. And you could feel the room get lighter just because of that experience.
Well, and this, everything you say and do and your past, like, I keep getting the word trust. Mm. And I think you've trusted what's come about on your journey, and you trust when you're writing the purple papers, and you trust when you're with an audience, and you just trust. And, you know, for myself and others, you know, there's the gap there, because I don't always live life trusting what I feel, what I think, what I hear. And it's just, I just see for myself, there's a whole nother level, because you're filled with love. I feel like you're an open book. You're just being very real. And trusting. Yeah.
I think it's important for us to be real with each other. Yeah, really, truly. And the trust thing, you know, I've been working on that.
Well, this, well done. This is
where I am right now. You know, I've been working on that. And when I hear the voice, though, when I feel the energy, I do trust that moment, because, you know, I made an agreement a long time ago. You know, I said to the spirit world, I said, "Look, if you want me to do this, I'm honored to do it. But you got to help me along the way. You've got to give me little moments to strengthen myself so that I can totally entrust myself into this moment." And it's become that now. So when I hear a story about Robert or Mr. Gongoleski or...
so specific, these names.
I mean, if I read the purple papers to you, they are specific. There's no getting around them. They're so specific about the life of the person. And you know what else is interesting with those messages? They don't vary, meaning even though it's specific and two people could look at it and feel something from it, mm-hmm. when I'm with the person it belongs to, it all sinks into place. And then I trust again, just like you've mentioned. I mean, I trust in that moment that it's working out exactly as it's supposed to, and that message will do what it's supposed to do. So, you know, it is about building the trust. It really is. It is about building that trust. And that's what I've come to understand. Like, I'm holding in front of me a purple paper that says, "Lou does not want to admit, but I was old." And he goes on to express the depth of that feeling for him, for Lou. And then it goes on to say other things about, "Now I'm finally happy." And he goes on to express his whole experience, right? It's there's nothing about them that really leaves you waiting. There's one here from Joey. "Joey left unexpectedly. I had no idea it was going to happen so fast. I honestly have to say I did my best." And he goes on to say more. And he talks about the stars at night, because it's on the paper and certain things are highlighted. So it takes a lot of trust, as you said, mm-hmm. to hear that, and then to stand in front of someone and say, "Here's your paper. Here's your message." And that Joey one was delivered the other night in Johnston, Rhode Island, to a woman whose brother passed very unexpectedly. And when she read the paper, she started to cry, because she knew in that moment that her brother was reaching through the veil, if you think there's a veil or a doorway or something, mm-hmm. trying to communicate his message.
We'll be back in just a minute, and we'll find out what's important for you and I to get our own messages and how these messages come through. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Are you looking for that certain someone who shares your interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal? Well, look no further than ParanormalDate.com, the unique site for like-minded people. If you like the senior crowd, try ParanormalDate.com/seniors to meet like-minded people that are 60+. It all depends on what you prefer. ParanormalDate.com is great for everyone. You can also tap into members that are 60+ at ParanormalDate.com/seniors. Enjoy your search and have some fun at ParanormalDate.com.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. And with the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault, where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. Head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
With age, women and men have issues with fine lines, wrinkles, under-eye bags, crepey skin on the neck, and aging on the hands. Dr. Nathan Newman has developed Lumines for amazing results treating these issues with his stem cell-based formula, APT200. Try Lumines today with our postage-paid starter kit for only $19.99, available exclusively at HealthyLooking.com. Join thousands of satisfied customers using Lumines. Learn more at HealthyLooking.com.
The best afterlife information you can get
while you're alive.
Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are with medium Roland Comtois. Roland, when these messages come through that you write on the purple papers, how do they come through? Do you hear your own voice? Do you hear someone else's voice?
It's many different things. Sometimes it's just kind of an automatic writing kind of thing. Sometimes it's the voice of a man. He's talking like this, and I feel that. I try to showcase that on the paper, meaning by if it's someone like that, I say that on the paper, or if it's somebody humorous, I try to say he's joking now. I try to bring the presence of that person to those purple papers. I listen to my body. I listen to my spirit. I listen to my emotions. I trust what I'm feeling when it comes to the spiritual realm, and I just embark on my journey. I mean, it is my mission to bring one little moment of hope. That's what I'm on a mission to do anyways.
Well, you're doing it. So, and then just even talking about listening, you know, I'm thinking, I don't listen to much. It's very easy to listen to the voice in our own head that's critiquing life as we see it, thinking about the past, worrying about the future. But listening to your body, listening to your emotions, listening to your feelings, that all gets you in the present moment. And I can't help but think that there's power in that. and your intuition can come through, and that love and that.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I teach my students is the one thing I want you to learn from this experience is to befriend silence first. So anyone who comes to me for any kind of training or teaching or whatever, the goal is to get silent. And in that silence emerges light, the message, the knowing. That silence is the catalyst to all things. I work really hard at silencing my ADD, ADHD mind, because I have that mind. And I know a lot of people are crazed with all kinds of life experiences now, and things are overwhelming. And actually, I feel so peaceful sitting here with you, talking with you today. I'm looking outside, as I said already, the green is grass. The horses are having a blast out there down in the neighbor's yard.
Nice.
And this is just this overwhelming sense of peace. But the second we walk out there into the world is spinning and moving. And so we have to really come to understand what that silence is and really befriend silence. And that's one of my big, you know, my big stories to tell people is if we can get silent, then we can truly hear what the universe, what the spirit world, what our loved ones, whatever exists there wants to communicate to us. Not only that, we have a greater sense of ourselves because of it.
I like it. I like it a lot. And we all want to have great things happen and intuition and communication with our loved ones and things. And it's like, give it to me now. I want it now, you know?
Yeah.
And but then it's like, well, have we done the first step, befriending silence?
Right. You're right.
Have we? But we say we want things, but, you know, we've got to put in a little bit of the work or take away the distractions.
We have to do the work. Fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, we have to do the work because there is a greater sense of accomplishment by being in that space. And I'm going to say this because I feel it 100%, that if you really understand the silence, then the whole universe is communicating with you. It gives you the opportunity to see your loved ones. It gives you an opportunity to see whatever it is that you believe exists just beyond our breath. I tell people to do the 60-second spiritual workout.
What's that?
Sit for 60 seconds.
Oh, how about that?
That's it. It's not that thrilling, but, you know, 60 seconds leads to 5 minutes. 5 minutes leads to 10 minutes, you know? And at some point, you feel refreshed, renewed, and ready to really take the next step on your journey. And again, as I said at the beginning of our time together, I think everybody is a medium. I think everybody is connected. I think there is not one book in the universe that says Roland Comtois is the one. It doesn't say that. It says that all have the connection, that all have the opportunity, that all have the inspiration, that all of us have it. And our job is to continually unlock that and let that door widen and widen so that we can see the universe, so that we can see it all. I had, you know, a near-death experience 30 years ago. It taught me, as did my grandmother standing before me, as did my time sitting with my patients that were dying, as did sitting with my mother when she was dying. All of this has taught me that we truly exist. We don't die. We are light. And when I think about my mother, maybe we should all think about our people right now, everybody that's listening. What is it about them that you loved so much? When I think about my mother, it's that something inside of her that made her so extraordinary. The part that really is invisible. You know, the Bhagavad Gita for Westerners says that when the matter part falls, the spirit remains standing, and that we all have access. So when I think about my mother, I think about how I smiled near her. I think about how I loved her. I think about the times that we had together and I laughed. I also think about the times that were hard. It's the part of her inside that we're connecting to. Love is by far the most extraordinary communicator that exists in the universe now. And if the message is coming from love, even though there may have been hardships in the relationship, there is a moment to reclaim that love now. So I think about my mother's love. Think about your people and their love and their energy and what you experience with them. And that might be the catalyst to get the message besides befriending the silence.
That's pretty great, because when I think of my dad, my grandmother, I can feel that essence.
I don't think there's a word that describes that yet.
Mm-mm.
You're right. I don't think there's one word that can describe the soul aspect of who we are in a language that we understand yet. I think we're growing into that language. Maybe we say love, yes, but, you know, love gets a little washed down unless you really put action into love, you know. And so that love, that energy, that something really is the connection that exists between us. And that connection allows us to have a much deeper, more profound, really, relationship with those that are here and those that have passed on.
I love it. And that it does help with the living as well, you know, because they're, let's face it, we're around many, many people, and we can love them as well. I want to ask you about your book.
My first book is And Then There Was Heaven, A Journey of Hope and Love. It's a spiritual memoir about the experiences of my life with nuggets of hope and inspiration tucked within the book. In the middle of the book, there are blank pages, and in the blank pages, they're purposely placed so that when you come to that particular part of the book, you stop, you breathe, you reflect, you remember your life, who you are, what you are, why you are, you know, and you just kind of stay in that space for a while, and then you can follow through to the rest of the book. The second book is called 16 Minutes, When One Breath Ends, Another Begins. It really is the journey of a medium's experiences of his mother's passing. And it's told from my perspective of my mother's life and the journey that we had together and what we went through. And in the back of the book is a grief guide. So there are some helpful hints, because all we can do is offer helpful hints with grief and loss. I mean, everybody experiences it their own way. So there's just a little bit of a guidebook in the back of the book that will help people to navigate possibly what they're going through. And then Signs of Spirit, it's 45 stories of the Purple Papers. So you don't hear my voice in this book at all. You hear the voice of the people whose stories, whose lives have been touched by the Purple Papers. And then I'm a co-author of many authors, though, in the 365 Days of Angel Prayer book. So there's a lot of people involved in that book. I will tell you, though, that what brings me the most joy in my world is being with someone who can catch their breath. I mean, it may sound like a cliche, but the truth is, when someone is shedding their grief or releasing their fears or their tears, and I get to stand by their side and hold them up or be with them, hold their hand or give them a message, then I feel very fortunate in my life. And I felt the same way as a certified nursing assistant to the mission that I do now. So from my job as a nurse all the way to this, I am honored to step in that space, because that's where I think the truth is. That's where I think love is, and that's where I think the healing is.
I think one of the common denominators that brings myself, you, and probably 99.9% of people listening right now is that we've all experienced grief. It's not cliche to catch your breath and really give people hope and give people a knowing.
We're human beings, and we are attached and connected to each other. It's part of the human experience. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there are some philosophies that say we shouldn't be attached, but the fact is we are connected. You know, we are connected to each other. And when that moment comes, when someone passes, no matter how young or how old, there's still an emptiness that you have to navigate through. And sometimes someone like me or us helps us to navigate through for a moment or two.
And catch our breath.
And catch our breath, basically, yes.
Oh, Roland, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate being here with you today and meeting you. So thank you so much.
Oh, we'll see each other in person because we both live in the same New England area. Is there anything I forgot to ask you or that you said, oh, I'd never mentioned this? Or any last bits of inspiration?
No, I covered it all. I think if we remember, though, that the connections that we made with our loved ones, they validate the continuity of life, and they remind us of the existence of the soul. They remind us that we are not alone, and that is what really feels good, is that we're not alone, that we are still loved, and that we are still supported through this experience. That's all I have.
That's all you have? It's just the beginning of a beautiful relationship with all of us. And thank you, Roland, again, for your time and your dedication and being an inspiration, just who you're being on this interview. You're just being love and you're being trusting and you're just being yourself. And you're a gorgeous human being. You really are.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Roland at blessingsbyroland.com. Also, come join us on a Wednesday for psychic class, which leads into mediumship at wedontdie.com. I'm Sandra Champlain. You've been listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
You've been listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain. For shows like this and others, please make sure to tune into the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows. Like us on Facebook, tell your friends, and share us with everyone.